Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is? Mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this, somebody shoots your family member. So of course you retaliate. You know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, somebody bombed a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up, we gotta go show them who's the real killers. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
Introduce a drug called crack to a ghetto team. Got along for born niggas now. Play of what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I'm hopeless. Got the devil petrified. Hot from my heart to focus. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealers from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit big, we block hits. Well, I block stick. All hell, I don't bear wrath. The apocalypse. Forever ghetto necessary. Picture food stamps. Outlaw thug niggas never left the food stamps.
I'm a real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block the back.
DJ
Flash. From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. When I put my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block the back. From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death, when I fuck my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Players, are you ready to see the war? It's the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Organize the streets in time, yeah, any devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary, damn, damn. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Tulsa core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something that was that tough, all right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
Real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who rock the rack. From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. When I put my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who rock the rack. From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. When I put my soldiers to death.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land, revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumon Shakir, and where our goals are fivefold. We have our primary objectives are, one, to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisons. Two, to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisons. Three, to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. And five, to prepare new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. And the overall goal of the transfer from the pre-industrial slave camp to the big interest learned through educational means. Before I bring on a guest tonight, I would like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On September 26, 1862, at a special cabinet meeting, President Lincoln called for coordinated national and international efforts to find a place to colonize blacks. In 1937, singer Bessie Smith died of injury sustained an automobile accident near Clarksdale, Mississippi. In 1948, United Nations mediator Ralph Bunche asked Israel and Transjordan to order an immediate ceasefire in Palestine. In September 27, 1822, Aram R. Rebels, the first black United States citizen, senator, was born a free man in Fayetteville, North Carolina. 1823, Alexander Lucius Twilight, who was probably the first black to graduate from American College, received a bachelor's degree at Middlebury College. 1862, the first Louisiana Native Guards, the first black regiment to receive official recognition, mustered into the army. Regiment was composed of free blacks from New Orleans. 1877, John Mercer Langston, named Minister to Haiti. 1912, the first public blues composition, W.C. Handy's Memphis Blues, went on sale in Memphis. In 1935, Mammy Peanut Johnson, the only female pitcher in the Negro Baseball League, had the D.C. Rosedale Recreation Center field named in her honor. She was born in 1935. In 1936, we're witnessing the birth of Don Cornelius. He was a cultural innovator, creator of Soul Train, which he hosted in 1973, a venue for black entertainers, viewers, and black pride. On September 28, 1785, David Walker, who was an elegant writer and author of the appeal against slavery, was born free in Wilmington, North Carolina. 1829, Walker's appeal, a radical anti-slavery pamphlet, was published in Boston by David Walker. The appeal denounced slavery and called for a slave revolt. In 1833, Reverend Lemuel Haynes, Revolutionary War veteran and pioneer African-American preacher, died in Greenville, New York at the age of 88. 1868, the Opelousas Massacre at St. Landry Parish, Louisiana. Republicans said Democratic terrorists killed 200 or 300 blacks. In 1895, three Baptist groups, the Foreign Mission Convention of the United States, the American National Baptist Convention, the Baptist National Education Convention, merged and established the National Baptist Convention at an Atlanta meeting. Dr. Elis Camp Morris of Arkansas was elected president. Hold on. Well, yeah, 1942, Booker T. Washington, the first U.S. merchant ship commanded by black captain Hugh Muzak, launched at Wilmington, Delaware. 1989, Yusuf K. Hawkins, a 16-year-old black youth, was killed in the Benson Hurst section of Brooklyn by a gang of white youth. The event inflamed racial tension in New York City. Police arrested and charged six white youth. I forgot Sunday, September 28th. On September 12, 1950, we witnessed the birth of Baba Ukala Mwendo. Baba Ukala Mwendo has held the different offices in the provisional government as president, vice president, minister of interior, and he's currently the minister of foreign. He's currently the minister of finance. Today is his born day. 28 was his born day. Okay. September 30, 1750. Christopher Attucks escaped from slavery in Framingham, Massachusetts. In 1863, in a White House conference, a delegation of whites from Missouri and Kansas asked for the immediate emancipation of Missouri slaves. Lincoln told them that their set was a little too fast for him and that he still favored gradual rather than immediate emancipation. In 1919, whites massacred over 100 blacks in Lane, Arkansas, after black sharecroppers organized to demand fair prices for their products. In 1984, the Cosby Show premiered on NBC TV and changed the dimensions of the situation comedy and the depiction of the African-American family on television. Started a legacy. On October the 2nd, freedom fighter Nat Turner, a leader of a major slave rebellion, was born in 1800. In 1958, Sekou Touré led Guyana, Africa, to independence. In 2002, the Chicago City Council anonymously passed an ordinance introduced by the alderman Dorothy Tillman that required any company doing business with the city to submit a report on whether it profited from slavery or a loss of city contract. Now, those are a couple of events that happened in history during the week. First, I would like to thank everybody who's been following our broadcast since 2014. I thank everybody who's currently educating themselves, trying to become the best version of themselves. I want to salute all the political prisoners, POWs, be the new African POW, African Prison One, Captive Citizen, brother from the Black Liberation Movement, brother from the Indigenous Puerto Rican Independent Movement, so forth and so on. I want to salute all these brothers and sisters behind enemy lines. They're currently educating themselves as well as creating Zines, magazines, programs, platforms to the people and presenting to the people and pushing out to the outside world and getting people involved in certain programs. I want to say free land, those identified with land, revolutionary greetings. This show is a tribute to Conrad Malik Killiam. Hold up. I think my hold up for a moment. Okay, I'm back. Again, I was saying this is a special tribute to Conrad Malik Killiam. And on this special tribute, we're going to have some of the close comrades. We're going to have Conrad Malik Zaid, good brother Mike Chambers, and sister Fala Nazarene. You know, first, I want to thank all of them for coming to our platform to share the knowledge we understand and share their experiences. I want to commend up all the work they did in the past, present, and the future. And I'm about to start opening the line so they can introduce themselves, tell the people about them, a little bit about themselves before we go into the informal interview. Hold up. Let me see. Okay, I'm opening a few lines. I'm opening the line. Let me see. Okay. Pre-line, so your line is open. Your line is open. Oh, no, that's the wrong line. That line, my brother, that's the wrong line. Free the line, so if your line is open.
Zulu line family.
Zulu. Introduce yourself, so tell the people a little bit about yourself so you know who you are.
Sister Fela on the line, representing. From the West Coast, you know, just
okay.
I'm here,
okay,
ready to roll.
Okay.
Did you want me to give a more formal introduction of myself, or is that cool?
you can get a more formal introduction. So tell us about your background, who you are, what you're involved with, so they can get a better understanding of you.
Okay. Well, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and that's where I am right now. I lived and worked in, and also went to school in Georgia 7 years ago for 7 years. So I guess my Atlanta experience started 14 years ago, and I've been home for the last seven, and I've been back a few times. Kind of like what I said, I'm a student all the time. I'm a teacher, of course. I'm the first teacher to my three adult children. Like I said, I'm a youth and family advocate. I've been a foster parent for over 20 years, off and on. I just started back here. But I started being a foster parent and a youth and family advocate at 27, and I am 47. So, yeah, that's what I do. I'm a child developer. My first job was at the Boys and Girls Club, I should say. So I've been working with children before I had credentials. And then so when I graduated from high school, I went straight into credentials, working with youth. And I was baptized in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. That's where I got my flag at 5 years old, red, black, green. I found out later in life that on my mother's side, my grandmother raised me, my paternal grandmother, but on my mother's side, I found out later in life, her uncles, my grandmother on my mother's side, her uncles started the AME church down in Alabama, one of the first AME churches in Alabama. So my RBG, red, black, green, activism, Afrocentricity, began at a young age, and it's in my bloodline on both sides. And again, I mean, I don't know the background of other folks, but I was raised in the AME church. So first and foremost, my people called on the spirit of Yahshua, Jesus, Esau, whatever you want to call it. So not a Christian per se, but I do stand on Christ-like liberty and life. And so, and God first. One God, one aim, one destiny. So that's pretty much who I am.
True indeed. Okay, I'm going to open it about another comrade so he can get in through an introduction. Now, after you introduce, I'm going to go into some questions for everybody individually. Okay, let me open the brother, Mike line up. Okay. Brother Schneer, greeting, brother. The line is open, Mike. Go ahead, bro. Introduce yourself. Tell the people about yourself.
Peace. All right. Peace,
bro.
Salute. You know.
Salute.
My name's Mike Chambers. I ain't never been too good with introducing myself and giving descriptions and all that. Me, personally, I just never been big on that, the accolades and whatever. I'm gonna start off by saying once again, I'm Mike Chambers. You gotta excuse me, man, because this is kind of hard for me. You feel what I'm saying? And
I really don't want to discuss too much about me.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to discuss too much about me. I really want to talk about Big Brother. I want to correct you as well. Don't take this the wrong way, but his name is Malik Kalam. The I is silent. If you do pronounce the I, he would say, kill I am. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It's all good, brother.
I just been my big bro, man, for over 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Going on 20 years. And, you know what I'm saying? The relationship we have is kind of different. You know what I'm saying? He always spoke a lot of truth. You know? He was always for the people. He was somewhat a prophet. Of course, a lot of things I used to hear Big Bro say on the radio show would later come into fruition years later. You know what I mean? He predicted a lot of things in politics and in society. You know?
Okay.
But yeah, you know, like I said, My name is Mike James, man. That's all that really matters to me. You know what I'm saying? And
okay.
You know, like I said, I'm just here to talk about Big Bruh, not about me, man. No disrespect, but you feel me? I just want to talk about my brother.
Yeah. I understand that, brother. You know what I'm saying? I know what's saying that. That respect, man. I understand that. I know Zaid said he was going to be a little late. He probably called in about the next 5 minutes or so. So, up and down and start off. Can you tell the people who exactly is, who Brother Malik is, who he was, what he stood for? Just tell the people about him, you know, how you met him, you know, some personal experiences, things of that nature.
So back in the late 90s, I used to listen to 89.3. You know, there was quite a few shows that used to come on. You know what I'm saying? From the World Party. Then they had the Rough, Rugged, and Raw. But I used to listen to the brother, and what caught my ear was, for one, his masculine voice, because there was a lot of black men on the radio who wasn't sounding manly. So he had a lion's roar about him when he spoke. And the things he would say, you could hear the passion in his voice. He was real passionate about black people. So I used to listen to him many years on the radio before I even met him. And he was the only brother that you could actually link up with him and take your music down to him and he play it on the spot, which still has not been done since then. So I remember one episode, the brother put out a challenge to all the rappers. And he said, look, I will play your music, but come down here with a radio edit version of your song. And then he said, no, I'm challenging all of you to write a song with no curse words. Right? So I thought that right there was different, because every rapper is cursing every other word, every other line. So for him to say that, I was like, okay, let me do that. And I ended up doing a 13 song, you know, album, CD, I guess. And it was at a Marcus Garvey festival at Mosley Park, either 2000, 2001. And my old roommate at the time was like, yo, Mike, there go Malik. I was like, where? He was like, right there. I was like, yo, I got my CD. Let me go holler at it. So, boom. I went up to Brother Malik. You feel me? I introduced myself to him. I told him I've been listening to his show. I told him I got a CD right now with 13 songs, and none of them have cursing on them. And his eyes opened up. He was like, word? Okay, I'm about to go home and check it out. I was like, cool. We didn't exchange numbers or nothing. You understand? So that was a Saturday. His show came on that Wednesday. I'm talking to my brother. Now, his show used to come on. Times changed from 12 to 6, then from 3 to 6. You know, 2 to 6. He had a late night, early morning show. So you had to be a night owl to catch his show. And a lot of people stayed up late just to hear his show.
Right.
So I'm talking to my brother, and I hear one of my songs come on the radio. And I get hyped, like, yo, he playing my song. So I called the brother up, and the brother said, no. Yo, I called him up. I was like, yo, man, it's Mike Chambers, man. He was like, yo, man, what you doing now, man? Come on down and burn one. I'm like, what? Like, man, I can't come tonight, man, but I'll come next week. So that's how it started. You feel me? Just an open invitation for my brother, right? So I ended up going down the next week and the week after that and probably the week after that. And I also used to hear him talk about our fatherhood, you know what I'm saying, because he loved his children. You feel me? He loved his children. So my daughter wasn't born then, but I think she was on the way. So when my daughter was born, to keep me at home so I could be a better father and get out the streets, not that I was in them like that, but you know what I'm saying, just to make sure I was home, I bought me an MPC 2000, and I began making beats. And I remember being at the radio station with Brother Malik, and different artists would come in with their songs for him to play. And once again, he had no problem playing anybody music, bro. He gave everybody the opportunity. I mean, instantly. So he would ask the different ones, hey, do you have a instrumental track that I could talk over? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times they wouldn't, or some of the producers he knew wouldn't give him the tracks for that. So I started making beats. And every time I would finish a beat CD, 16, 17 songs, bam, I'd give it to Malik. So he began talking over the beats, doing his style freeze over the beats, which some people call freestyle. The reason why he called it style free is because if you ever been in a studio with Malik Kalam, you know the brother didn't have no style. Meaning that if a beat come on, he own it. If another beat come on, he own it. If another beat come on, he own it. While so many other rappers would be like, hey, man, go to another beat. Hey, man, I ain't got enough for that one, man. I can't fit that one. Malik had a style. He was free of styles. He was style free. So he would use the instrumentals once again. He would talk over them. He even had it. He almost had it down to a science. And what I mean by that is he would open up the lines and the beats would play and almost change per caller. If that make any sense. So it was like everybody who called his show to say something had their own little background music, which was different. So I started going down there. I started giving them the beats. And he would just talk over them. You know what I'm saying? He would do some style freeze over them. If you go to his Reverb Nation page, you know, some of my beats, he got some songs up there. I like the What You Gonna Do. And he was so, I don't even know the word, but he could freestyle a song and remember the hook. Did that make any sense?
He
could freestyle a song and remember the hook, go back to a verse, and come back to the hook. So he was very unique. The knowledge the brother had was out of this world. Going back to his radio show, this is the only brother I know who would start off his radio show giving a shout to the brothers behind the U.S. Penitentiary. Every show, he started off giving a shout out to the brothers in the pen. He would read their letters. They would call in. Man. His show, like I said, prophesies so much. Not wanting to give too much, but he used to talk about, you know, like I said, situations. You know, like I really don't want to say it, but look, he used to talk about the Eddie Long situation before Eddie Long situation. Listen to what I'm saying. He used to talk about Bambaataa and Zulu Nation before Bambaataa and Zulu Nation. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this brother was so far ahead of his time with the things he was dropping.
Interesting.
So because of that, truth be told, a lot of people did not like Malik because he never bit his tongue. I called him a bully. He ain't never bullied me, though, because that was my brother. And he really didn't bully them. But if you knew...
He was bullying bullies. He bullied bullies.
The bullies. He bullied the bullies. Yes. He did bully the bullies.
And that's what a G do.
But that's right. That's right. But if you was wrong, and you knew you was wrong, you couldn't even stand by Malik. You couldn't even come in the room with Malik. Not because he was going to say something to you, but because you knew this brother was so real, you didn't even want him to look at you. So me and him used to sit back many, many nights and just laugh at that. You know, so many times because of the truth he was speaking on the radio, they would try to take off the air, especially when things started changing. And one of the segments on the show that a lot of people used to love and look forward to was the Cheese and Crackers on the Line. So how that came about, you know, once again, media would allow certain words to be said, and a lot of times it would be words to degrade us as black people. So Malik was always trying to counter that or to balance that. So a lot of people would get offended when we start talking about crackers, not realizing the history of the word cracker. That was the ones
exactly.
who would crack that whip.
Right.
So they want no good crackers. If you beating a black man with a whip, busting his back open, hey, you know, you was a dirty cracker, period.
Right, exactly.
So the radio station used to come down on him for saying that word. And we sitting back one night and we talking about it. And I said, hey, Conrad, we could be talking about cheese and crackers. And that's how it came about. We was like, cool, it's going to be cheese and crackers on the line. We ain't even have to say crackers no more. We just answer the phone and say cheese. And whoever called in was a dirty, rotten cracker, son, George Bush, you know, just whatever it was. And his show was so revolutionary. He was part of the UNIA. You feel me? Shout out to our Ross Marvin. Of course, Ross Marvin was also on our Malik Kalam show as well. He used to play the Roots at the 5 a.m. hour. You know what I'm saying? Kick in the Roots. But
it's for the president.
Mama and Jerry. Don't forget about Mama and Jerry. Rest in peace.
He was around a lot of black nationalists back at the time when it wasn't popular like it is now. So for that brother to take the stand that he was taking, once again, I couldn't do nothing except respect that, you know, because I saw what the media was attempting to program. His brother was known in the music community. You know what I'm saying? Just listening to the stories he told me from growing up in Miami, He showed the rapper Scarface the real Scarface house. Listen to what I'm saying now. He showed the rapper Scarface the real Scarface house. All right?
Huh.
So you got a lot of people who was pretending to be different things when he could actually take you to these real people, if that make any sense.
Yes, sir.
He was cut. He wasn't even cut from a different cloth. He was his own cloth.
Hmm.
He was his own fabric. I saw a lot of people try to imitate Malik and duplicate him.
Huh.
But they couldn't do it because he was so genuine in what he did. If you knew him and you had any kind of relationship with the brother, it was your own personal relationship with him. He touched so many people in so many different ways, from the young to the old. And I want to go back, you know what I'm saying, because the brother was not a racist, although we used to talk about dirty crackers. And I'm going to say something Malcolm X said, but then I'm going to build on Malik a little more as well. Malcolm X, when they asked him if he was a racist, he said, a person that's into the piano is a pianist. A person into the violin is a violinist. I'm into my race. I'm a racist. So I could dig that. But when I say Malik was not a racist, even when you listen to his music, you know what I'm saying? He say in songs, all white people ain't bad. Now, he was, woo, his show would go off at 6 a.m. And I can't remember, you know, the older white lady who used to come in after his show. But it used to be so funny because we'd be on the air going so hard.
Jane or something. What was
her name? Yo, I can't remember her name, but I know whenever she come in, hey, her and Malik had a conversation, because they had a relationship as well, and everything was love. And I used to be like, yo, bro, that's crazy. You feel what I'm saying? But everybody knew Malik for his truth. And, you know, if he wanted to call you a, you know, old fuck-ass nigga, hey, that's what you were. And, you know, once again, he had no problem telling anybody what was on his mind. But, you know, going back to his radio show, like, even to this day, the songs he played on his show, you don't hear no more on the radio. And there was a situation. Like, yo, people used to hold hands to try to take on Malik. Listen to what I just said. They couldn't come at him by themselves. So they would secretly team up and would hold hands to try to come at my brother.
Interesting. Very interesting. Right?
So his regimen was strict. It was stern. I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years. So I even learned how to be more healthy from this show. Definitely learned how to be more conscious from this show. Learned about so many political prisoners. Like, yo, Black August was every Wednesday on Malik's show. He was shouting out comrades behind enemy lines, behind the wall, POWs, all the time. Now that I'm sitting here babbling, I'm like, damn, Mike, you should have wrote down some points. You know, but this brother just like, yo, so vast, you know what I'm saying, so grand. I could share some Goody Mob stories. I could share some Outlaw stories. I could share some, you know what I'm saying, some Luke stories he shared. I could, like, yo, he was known. I could share some Dallas Austin stories. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this brother was known and respected in the music industry, in the conscious community, and in the streets. And what I mean by that is, I might call Malik, hey, where you at? Oh, I'm at Capitol Homes. Pull up. Capitol Homes? A lot of people didn't go to Capitol Homes, bro. Capitol Homes behind Grady Homes, bro. That's the hood. Where you at? I'm at Simpson Road. Where you at? I'm on MLK. He would be in the hood, bro. Listen to what I'm saying. Places I would pull up with people to go check my brother, with people who claim to be gangster, and I pull up, they in the car, and they be like, yo, man, why you going over here? I'm like, yo, to check my brother. He over here? Yeah, he over here. You getting out? Hell yeah, I'm getting out, nigga. What you going to do? And I'm staying in the car. Stay your scared ass in the car then. But he was known and respected by some of everyone, man. The old, the young, the rich, the poor, black, white. Now, like I said, man, he was a very unique individual. I got the opportunity to spend time with him his final days. And a lot of people had no idea Malik was sick. Right? And some people would ask me, Mike, what's up with Malik? And I'd be like, yo, Malik such and such, you know, said, you know, what's up with you? He was like, yo, man, tell him I'm healing. Because that's what we was doing. He was healing. And now that I think back at it, you know, Malik was healing his soul. He was healing his spirit. I could honestly say, and I don't want to be wrong, I don't want to offend nobody, but just from all the different conversations I've had with my brother, if anything was the cause of, you know, his demise, so to speak, it was a broken heart. And I say that because, as I stated earlier, Malik loved his community and his people so much that
I can dig it.
It would hurt him a lot of times to see the people that he called brothers and sisters turn on him for ones who thought it might have been a little more fame or fortune or whatever it is they was offering at the moment.
Okay.
And now this is with several different people. You understand what I'm saying? This is no one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
This is, once again, as I listen to all the conversations we've had and witness different things myself.
Indeed.
His love
was
great.
Parts out, brother. Let me open Zaid line. Let me hit you yourself. Okay, I'm over the line right quick.
Cool. No problem.
Okay. No doubt. Jalou, relax.
All right.
What's good, man? Introduce yourself. Tell people about yourself. All right.
What's good, man? My name is Zaid Malik. You know, brother to Malik Alam. in many ways, you know, in this music shit. You know, I look at him as my, you know, my soulmate, so to speak, musically. Like, just speaking on him personally, I just heard Mike, you know, talking about how, you know, he didn't want people to know that he was sick. And that just speaks to, you know, his character, who he was as a person. You know, he definitely, you know, always presented himself as strong as a one piece, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what, you know that he might have had going on. Like, I remember, like, when he first, you know, stopped being on the radio. I mean, you know, he just took that to the online. So it's almost like you really never knew that he wasn't on the radio anymore because, you know, he was going to do him regardless. So I could see how, you know, dealing with what he was dealing with, it wasn't something that he wanted, you know, people to know about because his personality was everything. You know, you gotta keep in mind he was an online personality, well, you know, a radio personality. And I say that because that's, you know, what you call it, but in all reality he was more than just a personality, but everything that he embodied was strength and honor and straightforwardness. And just that embodiment, I think, is what he needed and wanted to be intact. He was big on the embodiment. You know, when I think about, not just in reflecting on the homies, you know, past few days, when I just think about, you know, our movement, Outlaw RBG. And it was a time where me and him went back and forth. And, we fought, we beefed about who began it. And, you know, I feel like in our reality we spent, well, you know, we wasted a lot of time doing that because in reality, all me and Malik really did was embody something in a spirit that was already there. That's all we did. We just encapsulated it. And in that way, I feel honored and blessed to be able to embody that with somebody like Malik. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't, you know, find each other. Say again? We didn't find each other. Meet nowhere. Somebody put us together. You know what I'm saying? Tupac's father put us together. He sent me over there to promote for this project called Dare to Struggle. So it wasn't like we met somewhere and then we just formed a bond. You know, it was something bigger than us from the beginning. It was Tupac Daddy that had a vision for us, and he sent me over there. You know what I mean? To promote a project, and from there we just kind of just kept rocking and. Just from the meeting, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, from the first meeting, just how he, you know, immediately was, you know, just a rider. And we was able to be down for each other from the very beginning, from the very first meeting, was what attracted me to the brother and spirit the most. Because it was like, you know, it was like we had to. It was like, man, we can't fuck this up because Matulu told us to do it. So it was awesome, you know, even when, like, a lot of times, you know, Mike can attest to this, maybe Fela too, we would bump heads on a lot of shit before we, you know, initially kind of, you know, fell out for a good period of time. But we would bump heads. And I can honestly say that, you know, because of Matulu, we would, you know, put our egos and our, you know, our bigger plans aside for the greater good. So just, you know, with that said, just the way that he rides for Matulu Shakur, the way that he embodies him and, you know, it's his mouthpiece in a lot of ways online and just in the community. Was always something that I appreciated because, you know, a lot of times I used to feel like when nobody ride for Matulu as hard as I was, and, you know, if I really thought about it, he was that only other person. So just a lot of shit. Like, we was, you know, two sides of the same coin, how I look at it, you know, sword and shield shit, real brothers, you know what I'm saying? And I say that because, you know, I don't fuck with a lot of people personally. And even people that, you know, I got to bump heads with all the time, I really don't, but me and Malik was able to, you know, grow a relationship and grow a movement regardless of our differences. So, you know, just speaking on him just by himself, man, he's a legend in the city. He's a legend in the jail cells, you know what I mean? As far as, you know, his radio show, his following was mainly prisoners, and that was like his biggest support system as far as his radio show. So that speaks to his character and, you know, just his credibility in and of itself, man. So He's my big homie ancestor now. I love him to death, man. Like I said, he's my heart and soul, my soulmate in this music shit. You know what I mean? Like I used to call him my Bundini. You know what I'm saying? Like the motherfucker. He was like my battery in my pack, the nigga that got me hype. You know what I'm saying? He was my hype man quite literally. You know what I mean? Like at all my nigga. Shows, when nobody show up, he was the nigga that showed up. When nobody would show up, he was the one nigga. And, you know,
biggest dog.
It's just my nigga. I can't really put it in no other terms than just being my nigga, bro. And you know, so that's just what it was, man.
True indeed. I appreciate it. Can you tell her what inspired you to want to put this commemoration together? When you reached out to him, what inspired you, sis?
I mean, they have said so much. They done said everything that I could say. And, of course, woo-wee. Let me just say something. Zaid said it last. And so he said it from day one. That's the number one thing. Day one. The first day I met Malik, I met him with Sharice Nicole. We exchanged numbers. Sharice Nicole looked at me like, bitch, this is my nigga. Because you know what a king is? Y'all got to know what a king is. Y'all know what a king is. I talked to that man at least 5 days a week. When I say everybody's best friend, because I know he's my best friend. I called him anytime I wanted to. Oh, he didn't listen to me. That was my friend. That was my brother. That was my twin. I said, I ain't never met nobody meaner than me. You meaner than me, nigga. We're going to have a Capricorn party. I promise y'all that. Let me tell you something. That's my friend. He ain't gone nowhere. He gave up that physical because he was too big for that physical. And when you talk about brokenhearted, I called him every time my heart broke. And I wish that I would have known his condition and I wouldn't have put that much on him. Because I called him every single time I lost two of my sisters and my brother on blood, family. Every last one of them was a blood. For real, a real blood tonight. And I called him, like I said, talked me through it and walked me through it. And he walking me through this. He walking me through this, y'all. He walking me through this. I'm going to say this. The assignment is to collect his words, his spoken word and his poetry. And we're going to put it in a book. And we're going to make sure that his word sound is power everlasting. Everlasting. Sing.
Sure.
You feel me? I say, oh.
I say, yes, ma'am.
Yes, you got to do it. You got to do it. That's Mike Chambers. That's your assignment. You're the writer. We all going to assist you. We're going to co-write with Mike Chambers. We're going to get that together. You're going to get some of them shows together. We're going to get his book. We're going to publish it. We're going to publish it on Power of the Pen Publishing, Boom Management. But we're going to get this done. That's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about all that stuff. He got like 50 songs. This man got so much. It's going, like I said, it's going to be a chore to get the collection together. You feel me? It's going to be a chore to get it together. And then you're going to have to transcribe it. And we're going to put it together. It has to happen. So that's what the charge is.
Man, it's so cold, man. I just listen to his music.
Love me, you better do it. You love me, you do it. You do it. You do it. You do it. You say we don't die, we multiply, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying? Then we got to do it for real. And all the stuff that we talked about, that's why he was angry, and that's why he got loud, and that's why I'm angry, and that's why I get the fuck loud, because we are tired of all this fucking talking, folks, okay? We tired of the talking. And I ain't going to let this world break my heart before I finish my mission on this planet. We got to save D.C. We got to start with the mothers, move to the fathers. I say start with the mothers because they carrying D.C. You know what I'm saying? And if she, her mind is right, then she going to, of course, get some seed from a good man. She ain't going to fuck with a dumb nigga if she, her mind is right. And then once you got that collective thing together, then we can move forward with this real black family. And we need to talk about what the real black family really, really, really is. It's man, it's woman, it's child. It ain't no substitute for that. And I don't care if it's biological daddy, biological mama, or sex. I don't give a fuck. The dynamic is man, woman, child. And now down south, y'all better stop it. All this batsy, batsy, bossy, bossy bullshit. You better stop.
Yo.
We can't grow if you're aborting and bumping nasty. Feel me? So you're aborting babies, and then you're fucking having these lesbian babies. I mean, you know, you done had a baby with a nigga. Probably 4 or 5 baby daddies, but you're playing like you don't like dick. You like dick because it got 2 or 3 baby daddies. I need you to hop back on that man, okay, and get it in gear. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
you hear how passionate Payday is right now?
Okay, but, yeah, because my brother is right here, right here. Everybody, put your left hand over your heart right there. That's where Malik is if you a real nigga.
That's right. That's
If you a real God or goddess, God with a little G-S.
Right.
Okay, right there.
That's right.
Left hand over your heart. Left hand over your heart. There he is. If you got heart.
If you got heart.
True, indeed.
Now, that fire right there that she has. You feel me? That fire.
It's all good.
That's the fire my brother was burning. Right?
Okay.
Now, I'm going to add on to what Zaid was saying also. You know, all right, whenever Matulu sent Zaid to Malik, you feel me? Malik called me.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, Mike, you know what I'm saying? Baba done sent me this young general named Zaid Malik. He got one of his brethren with him named Big Nail. He said, we about to form the outlaw RBGs because we got some fucked up outlaws and we got some fucked up RBGs. And we going to come together and burn all them niggas. I was like, shit, say less. Let's do it. So that's how the RBGs came into play. And once that movement started, it was a conscious movement. And we was making it cool. So we made it cool to be conscious. A lot of cats back in the day was kind of lame with their consciousness. Not that anything is wrong with it, but we came from a whole nother, you know, we came from a whole nother side. You know, like I said, we was street. All right.
Gave up a lot.
Hold on.
Gave up a lot.
Listen. His brother K2, right? One of his brothers from Miami. I just saw a post K2 had posted. And K2 said, yo, I remember 30 years ago when Malik said, yo, man, we about to go vegetarian. And he said, yo, the first damn hot dog they ate He said, Malik said, hey, man, this shit nasty as hell, but we're going to stick with it. He said, Malik said, we're going to go from hurting these niggas in the street to healing these niggas in the street.
Hmm.
And that's what he would do. So, once again, to hear this brother's stories from his Miami days, when Rod told me they used to call him Convertible Milk, with all his cars and all this, you know, that came with it, to hear those stories and not to know that brother right there, not to know Malik Kalam, I think he was lying. Because ain't no way one man could change like that. You can't do that. But he could do that. Only he could do that, bro. Because he was still genuine, whether he was in the streets or in the conscious community. Right? The Atlanta conscious community is different, yo. It's big. A lot of people is in it. Malik know everybody. Yeah. Everybody knew. Everybody knew Malik. Everybody had love and respect for Malik. I get my pass from Malik. I'm gonna keep it 100, bro. People know me because I was with Malik. And I'm gonna keep it real. People know me because I was with Malik. Not because of me, nigga, but because I was with Malik.
So the work he would do. A few doors.
Yo, once again, he was that guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't deny that, though. And like Zaid was saying, and, you know, like I was saying earlier, you get him in the studio and put on a track. Once again, not to give too much out, but this story right here I'm about to say, I want you to think about what I'm saying, right? And once again,
okay,
Miami Rock about for it too. You feel me? Goody Mob will get stuck in the studio. Listen to what I just said. Goody Mob would get stuck in the studio and would call Malik, and he would come through with some of his style freeze. Malik told me the song Fly Away. CeeLo made that shit about him. If you don't like where I stay, fly away, fly away. Because he said he used to always be talking about Atlanta niggas and he from Miami. And the reason why I brought that story up, because if you pay attention to a lot of cats that Malik was involved with musically, once he removed himself, they damn near quit making music. I ain't trying to say he had a lot to do with it, but he was that influential, bro. He tapped into an unlimited source. A lot of people could not tap into that source, and he stayed tapped in, bro. He used to give a tour downtown Atlanta, and he'd take you to the jailhouse on Peachtree Street. And I don't know if the mural is still on the wall now, but if you walked inside and you looked to the left, there was a big mural on the wall, and there was a black man giving away the world to the white man. And he said, hey, Mike, that's the Moors, giving the white man America, giving him the world. He said, you see that little black man right there with a small piece of it? He kept that for himself. Then we go outside, and he break down the tree growing up and say, hey, Peachtree Street, do you know why Peachtree Street connects into Memorial Drive? And I'm like, nah, comrade, why? He said, because back in the day, them crackers used to march from the Chattahoochee all the way up Peachtree. They had a little path, and they would hang niggas right here where this tree is growing now.
Oh, my God.
And then walk that memorial down the drive. So the information this brother used to share with me I'm so honored. He helped me become a better man. For real. He helped me love my people more. He helped me understand my people more. Like I said,
right.
he ain't tolerate no fuckery. He ain't tolerate no foolery. At all. When I would go to his show, I used to be so amazed at how he would work the show. He working the boards. Listen to me. He working the boards. He calling in, checking. He playing the music. Like, he's doing everything himself and never missed a beat. He was a human jukebox. And what I mean by that is Malik knew rock songs, rap songs, country songs, reggae songs. He was a fan of music, and he would play songs, as I stated. Ain't nobody had no radio versions. He learned the words to the songs, and he muting the curse words as it's playing. Like, yo, this brother was so raw. I would just sit back in amazement, man, and just be like, wow. And because he was so free with his show, I witnessed many times different guests would come in and would try to take over his show. You know what I'm saying? Because once again, man, he was, you know, look, you come in, he turned the mic on, you know, let you do your thing, but it was still his show. He had everything formatted and talked about, or he knew what he was going to talk about before the show came on. So you can't come on with your own ideas to his show. Could, if you discussed it beforehand. But at that moment, nah, bro, his show was his show. And there was not a show like Malik Kalam's Outlaw Radio. And there'll never be another show like that.
Man, I say all the time, man, I'll be seeing these niggas doing their little live shits and just the whole blog, the blog game, the YouTube blog game. My nigga started all that shit. If you know, you remember, Mike, we used to come up in there, especially when motherfuckers used to videotape it and all that shit. That's exactly what the fuck it was. And he just go in, and the nigga was so, he was a fucking comedian too. You know what I'm saying? Don't get it twisted. My nigga had you fucking cracking the fuck up. I mean, this nigga was the funniest nigga, probably one of the funniest niggas I ever met just on some G shit. Nigga was fucking hilarious.
Right.
So, you know, that was the other thing about it. He was pure therapy being around the nigga. Like, and you knew, like, you know, because he would explain and talk about all the shit he'd been through, all the shootouts and, you know, everything that nigga been through, you know what I'm saying? But then it's like, and you know what he going through too, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, everything my nigga had going on, then he was still, like, you know, coming around being himself and just a funny nigga. Very, very hilarious, very, very kind-hearted, man. And, you know, as hard as he seemed on people, very, very, very sweet-hearted person, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, would look out for you because that's just who he truly was. And to your point, Mike, I think that's what sometimes I think, like, you know, when he came off angry, I really didn't feel that way. Like, I just felt like, you know, he was really just a good-hearted individual that had to be angry and come off a certain way to protect himself. You know what I mean? Which a person should. You should protect yourself. And in that way, I think that, you know, that's what he was doing. But he truly was a good-hearted individual, and you could hear it in his voice. Like, you would think, like, don't get twisted. Motherfucker, I ain't on racism all day. You know what I'm saying? We'll tell a cracker, he'll crack it to his motherfucking face. But it's been time white folks done called in, and my nigga having a civilized, regular conversation, you know, he the motherfucker just on the human level. So he had different sides to him that I think made him who he was, made him, you know, the personality, made him larger than life, so to speak, because he could tap into so much. And that way he was just very talented. I used to see shit for him all the time, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, like, you know, I sent him a message maybe about a year ago. Like, man, these niggas is doing what you was doing a few years ago, man. You need to, you know, pointing them to different people's lives, just kind of giving them an example of how I could see him, you know, doing the same kind of thing. But, you know, like I said, man, he was just, you know, he was one of them people that was so fucking talented
that sometimes he just kind of didn't know what to do with it. But he was just that talented. It was like, man, I know I could do this shit. I'm going to just not do it type of shit. And so, you know, yeah, man, he was just, you know, he was that nigga, man. He was definitely our heart and soul of our movement, man.
True indeed, true indeed. You know, for the people interested in going to the homecoming or the funeral, whatever it may be, right, can y'all get some insight where it's going to take place, how people participate, or how people get involved, or, you know, things of that nature, you know, just some awareness.
Yeah, man, let me pull it up real quick. You got a mic?
Yeah, I'm about to pull it up myself.
All right. So I know it's this Saturday coming up.
Okay.
Right there in Atlanta.
Now,
you
when you open up the line.
It's going to be at Hill Funeral Home on Saturday, October the 2nd at 11 a.m. Thornhill, Thornhill Funeral Home. Gus Thornhill. Gus Thornhill Funeral Home on Saturday at 7. Dade County Legend.
Are they streaming it?
Sure. Say again?
Are they streaming it?
I'm not sure, but once you open the lines for callers, yes, they are streaming it live.
Okay.
I just got a message, so yes. They are streaming it live.
Okay.
You know what I said?
It's taking place in Miami or Atlanta?
No. Our address is 1315 Gus Thornhill Jr. Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30344.
Okay.
And it's October 2nd at 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. And it'll be followed by a celebration of his life, 1828, Canali Drive in Marietta. His family will be holding that our celebration on.
So if we want to send flowers, do we send them directly to that address?
Well, no. If flowers should be sent to his home or to
the
funeral?
To the same address.
Okay. No,
yeah.
No flowers.
No flowers?
Family.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, no flowers.
okay.
Yo, I just got a message saying he didn't like flowers. LOL.
Okay.
So, no flowers.
Well, if there's anything, you guys will, I mean, somebody will keep everybody informed if there's any kind of anything going on as far as anything needed.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Where we could send anything that we wanted to donate or anything. Anything we wanted to, any offering, love offering or something.
Okay. All right. So y'all want to know where to send our love. Now, on Friday, there'll be a fish fry on Friday.
Okay, I'll talk to y'all off of somebody. I'll talk to you, Mike, offline just because I'm out here, so I'm not going to be able to make it to Georgia.
Okay. All right. I understand that. The fish fry on Friday will be at 1828 Killarney, Killarney Drive in Marietta. Killarney Drive. You know, they laughing at me because I'm pronouncing it. You know, wrong. But yes, that's where the fish fry will be. You know, so if y'all want to pull up on Friday, you know, feel free to pull up and I celebrate his life.
Charlie signed with me and pull up on y'all, Mike.
Who's that, Conrad?
I'm trying my best to pull up on y'all, man. You know, I'm coming from the left coast.
Yeah. We already know. Okay.
You still out here, Taylor?
And now, all right. And now,
yeah,
also,
I can't even get my. My son is out there. He might go, but I'm actually moving on Friday, so there's no way for me to do it.
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I didn't mean to say that, y'all. Woo.
Okay, so check this out now. You know, you was asking about the I love offering.
You got to watch these other elements. Ooh, bless the Lord.
True. So you was also asking about the love offerings earlier.
Yes.
So if you want to send some donations, once again, that could be sent to 1828 Kill Arnie. KILLARNEY Drive, Marietta, Georgia, 30008. Or you could Cash App Martina Freeman. And that's the Cash App. $ Martina, MARTINA Freeman. So that's for anybody who want to donate, you know what I'm saying, just love offerings for the brother. And also, it will be very necessary, I think, to contact his family about his music and his writings, because I know they are in possession of his possessions.
Yeah, I want us to all get together and make sure that we get that collection in, you know what I mean? We're going to have to get all together offline and get some stuff going to make sure that we get him properly, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure y'all probably already asked Cap for BMI or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, you know, we just want to make sure that is set up properly so they receive all the proceeds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So that's my, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, he had...
And anything that they want to do, however they want to, because they might have some foundations they want to start, you know. We got, like I said, let's get that all established offline. Well, let's get it to, you know, let's handle all that business and make sure that everything is... You know, on that end, you know, you all, you know, that's outlaw.
You know, Malik was also a great grandfather. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He had three
yeah,
grandchildren that loved him. You know, look, I remember going.
Big, beautiful family. I was looking like, oh. Beautiful family.
You know,
beautiful.
Look. Now, I don't want to get too personal with this stuff, you know, because a lot of things, as I stated, a lot of people didn't know what Malik was dealing with, you know what I'm saying, the past 2-3 years. You understand what I'm saying? Because this just didn't happen.
What's up?
I want people to understand that this was a process. It didn't just happen, you know. But his last days, he was with his family, and I remember going to see him once, and his youngest grandson, Kendall, would be running around, you know, and you know. His granddaddy might, you know what I'm saying, I say a little something to him, and you know, he'll run up to him, and the way he would hug his grandfather's legs and place his head on him was just, yo, it was just so beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? So his grandchildren loved him. As I stated, he was loved by everybody, except the ones who hated him.
They loved him, too. That's why they was hating.
Really, they did.
They wanted to get closer.
You know, really they did. But
and I mean, the thing is, if you knew that you could, then you would have.
yeah. Look, you had to be genuine with yourself. If you wasn't genuine with yourself, you couldn't be close to me.
Yeah.
Don't
tell you about yourself now.
Yeah.
You gonna know all about yourself when you're done.
Now, I used to tell him all the time, but you know, like I said, now that I think back, you feel me, to over the years and all the conversations we would have, and you know, I don't want to be overstepping my boundaries or anything. But once again, I want to say I think the brother might have known. And his last days, he used to text me, right? Mike Chambers, bring me this, bring me that. Mike Chambers, bring me this. Hey, I need for you to come out here. And shit, I run out there, right? But when I get there, I'd be like, bruh, you still got the stuff from the last. I realized the things that he loved the most, he was wanting to have one more time, if that make any sense.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? He was texting all his homeboys, texting all his homegirls, just all the people that he cared for. He would text them and tell them I love you, or text them and say, yo, come check on your boy. He ain't tell nobody what was going on. Listen to what I'm saying. He just be like, yo, come check on your boy. And the more people who talk to me, like, yo, Mike, I was calling Malik because I was going through this. I was calling him because I was going through this. I was calling him because I was going through this. I was calling him because I was going through this. For a brother to be that strong, knowing what he was going through and still find the strength to comfort someone else. Come on, man.
Right.
Who does
that?
That says a lot.
Who does that, yo?
That's called a friend. That's called a friend. People, if you ain't learned nothing else, learn the example of a friend. And that's a friend. Like, if I say I'm your friend, I can have a million friends, and I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to be your friend. You know what I'm saying? Some people be frenemies, but that was a friend. That is a friend. You want to know somebody who's like a friend like Jesus? That was a friend like Jesus, a friend. You know what I'm talking about? Telling you, I was calling him like he was Jesus. Seriously, that's why I know. And I know I wasn't the only one. I know I wasn't the only one. That's why I said.
Nah.
That's too much
and
on
you
one
would
man.
Never know.
That's too much on one man. That's why, like, okay. If y'all can handle this, y'all around.
Man, I was.
That's a lot.
I was just reminiscing.
That's a lot being everybody big brother. That's a lot.
Everybody's big brother.
Hey, look. I just want to say something
that's
about the band, about the music. About his music.
Even the music. Ooh, and I mean, that was incredible. I couldn't even believe it. Half the time I was just. I couldn't even believe it. I didn't even say nothing about the music. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, that's you? I couldn't believe it. I'm a hard nut to crack. So when I think you dope, that's it. And then he was just throwing it out there like, yeah, like just I'm dope, nigga. Like I'm doper than dope, nigga. What you thought? I've been doing this.
Now, bro's really writing scriptures. I've been listening to some of our old shit.
And it literally sounded like conversation that we have. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we would ride so much, just chop it up. And we got a lot of music together. And, you know, I just been listening to it over the last week. And it don't remind me, like, when I hear it, it don't remind me of the music that we made. It just remind me of shit we was doing and actual conversations. And, like, you know, like, when we see things from two different sides, like, I'll play a song and I'll be like, yo, bro, we literally had this conversation where we saw from two different sides and literally just went to the studio. So a lot of the shit that I be hearing from him is him. Like, bro, it's really, really, and Mike can attest to this, he never wrote no shit, and he couldn't spit it twice for you. So everything he wrote or everything he recorded, he just get in there and record it. And that's the first, only and last time you're going to hear that shit, nigga. You better catch it. And better catch it. And, you know, it came out. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I stop him and then be like, plug in right here type of shit. But, you know, when I listen to it, man, his shit is just regular. It's real scriptures. Like, and then now that he's gone, like, you really listen to it more in depth. For meaning, because he's searching for meaning, like why my homie had to die like that, da, 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 all that. And so now you listen to it and you searching for meaning, and I'm listening to it, and then it's just all up in there, man. Yeah, just a testament to his music. If you ain't up on the homie music, you know, go listen to it, man. Go Google Malik Kalam music, man, because a lot of Jews in the homie.
Yeah,
and look. I was listening to Hussein.
You know,
I was like up and down the block. Hussein.
Yeah, that's it.
Listen,
I remember when we laid.
I heard something in there for the first time today. I couldn't even believe it. I ain't gonna say it. But I heard something. I was like, ooh.
Yes. We was at Terry Miller, right? We down at Terry Miller. Yo, that was my first time meeting the brother Terry Miller, right? You know, Malik called me, yo, I'm down at my brother's crib, Terry Miller. We about to lay some music. So I go down there, and he put on the beat. And, yo, like I just said, any song you put on, Malik had a rap for. So as soon as the beat came on, doo, 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 Malik said, who said, who says? Like, yo, the shit just be instant. Who said? So Terry Miller trying to tell him, yo, man, you can't be rapping all wild. Man, Malik screaming at the top of his lungs, but you hear how good the song is.
Oh,
how good his part is. You understand what I'm saying? Huh. He's telling Mike, can't nobody tell me how to do this shit. Sure. I don't know what to do. But also, to echo what Zaid was saying, yeah, he never really wrote no raps. He might write down a little bit of something, but not a lot. And I was just recently telling somebody, if you listen to Malik on a verse, and if he finishes his verse, you might often hear him laugh. So I said, y'all know why he be laughing when he finished? They were like, nah, why? I said, because he know he spit that shit right, and he couldn't do it again if he had to. So he was happy he got that ball put out that time. So that's why he would always laugh when he finished. Like, woo, ha-ha. That's why he would laugh at the end of his verses. Because he didn't know what he was saying. He was a portal. He could channel the Most High.
Huh.
I want to say this, too, man. Alpha RBG, that was the resurrection of him even rapping. If you really know about him, you know that he had a whole separate rap career before me and him got together. And he was rapping about all kind of different shit. His rhyme schemes was different. He had whole songs with hooks, and I think he was actually writing then. And then when we, you know what I'm saying, start, like, his whole style changed and the shit was a little different. But, like, I don't know if he's, like, Mike, did he play some of his old shit for you?
Oh, yeah, bro. Look, all right. Whew. One of my favorite songs was Mama, Please Don't Be Mad At Me, because I wear my pants saggy and my hair nappy. Mama, Don't Be Mad. His song's always been on point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, him and Bathsheba used to have ring the bell. So you have me and my people ain't picking no cotton. Me and my people ain't getting
no
hay. Like, yo, he all exactly. So he always been on a conscious tip. But like Zaid said, when Outlaw RBG formed, You know, the shit was like brand new Malik.
Sure. Birth.
You know what I'm saying? And
I was happy to rock with
it.
When
it all jumped off, you know, like I was going through my own little personal thing in life at the moment. So I come around every now and then. But him and Zaid used to hit that studio, man. Matter of fact, shit, they could go to Zaid's crib when he was staying in the cater. And, yo, they'd be back in a little room. Zaid turned that mic on. And they lay down some plastic music.
Smoking about a pound of weed. We just smoke a lot and record.
And, yo, and the joints they came up with, man. It's crazy.
Our sound, Mike, our sound was Yo B and me and the homie.
Yeah.
That was our sound. If I really think of Outlaw RBG, that's like them songs that you made the beat. And, you know, me and him was going back and forth on, like, the way our voices clash with each other. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, bring rise to each other. And then on one of your beats, the sound. Like, our clash, like, you know, my flow that I'm on beat and his flow that he's, you know, off all mm-hmm. over the place with Allen, put them together on one of your beats. And that's us, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, our shit was like Thugged Out Wu-Tang, my nigga. That's what our shit was. It was like the Thugged Out, you know, Revolutionary Outlaw Tupac with it, Wu-Tang Clan. And then, you know, the shit was beginning to, you know, to stretch out, and the shit started to take a life of its own. And that was, you know, that was, that's what would be part of something that you could see had a life of its own. It's bigger than both of us, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was bigger than any part that was a part of us. And it was like when we was together, that's when it was the most fun. You know what I mean? Real shit.
Sound beautiful. Sound beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was
like,
a beautiful thing. You see, man, we took one little word, and then niggas are saying that shit all across the world, bro. Like, just to have an effect, leave your imprint in the world in any shape, form, or fashion in 2021. Nigga, I'm honored to be a part of it. Can't nobody take that shit away. Nigga, that's what it is.
Yo, and this was 2010, 2011. He had people all over the world saying salute.
Come on.
All over, like, yo, it'd be foreigners all over. It'd be on Facebook. All he had to do was say it one time. They start chiming in all over the world.
Niggas was getting that shit tattooed on them, bro. Niggas popping up online with Outlaw RBG tattoos on them, bro, from Australia.
Real talk.
Real talk.
Yo, he had it from the UK. Yo, from the Middle East, Africa, like, yo, Canada.
Get some ghetto
you
ass
know
stuff out of Africa, you feel me? Doing what we do, like, organic, like.
Yeah, man.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing to know the homie and to be a part of it with him, man. And I ain't shit without the homie. I ain't scared to say it. I ain't, you know, too proud to say it. Shit, I'm African. And if I said anything else, you know, I would expect niggas to get on my case about it. Just for the simple fact that that's just how we rock as African people. But for factual reasons. Like, you know, the Godfather. We used to call Matulu the Godfather. You know, no, we used to call him the Father. I'm sorry. The Father. The Father put us together. That's what me and Matulu used to refer to Matulu as, the Father, just in honor of Tupac. We call him the Father. And, you know, like I said,
indeed.
He was bigger than us. The Father put us together. And, you know, no matter how much me and Malik fought, this shit was bigger than both of us. And I think that he would have even acknowledged that right now.
Yeah. He right there with you. So you ain't, you the shit. You, because he right there with you. He ain't going nowhere. Right there with you.
Yeah, that shit hurt, Taylor. I ain't gonna lie. I feel like we wasted a
lot. I know, that's why I said you. I'm telling you right now. Every time you feel him, know that's him. Don't even doubt it. Know that is him. Cause I mean, I know that he been visiting everybody. He been busy. Like I asked him, when did you sleep?
Taylor, remember when we was at the statue though? We was at the statue and how the song came on when we was talking about Pop. And somebody called. Did you see that video, Phelan?
Hell yeah, called his phone. Yeah. And he had a Tupac ring to him. And y'all there honoring Tupac at his statue.
Man,
Yep.
Hey, yo, Zari. Hey, yo, let's have a moment of silence for the brother Park. And as soon as the moment of silence starts, maybe 5 seconds into it, the phone rings and it's too
loud. Yeah. Huh.
For real.
Shit like that.
I want to say my quick little story. So yesterday, I remember I told you, Mike Chambers, that I had an assignment. I was like, I can't talk to nobody because I got till midnight to turn in my assignment, right? So I finished
right.
at 7 o'clock. Okay, so I finished it at 7 o'clock, so I'm early. So I go in to pull it up after I finalize it, right? Why, when I go to pull it up, that whole 40th anniversary come up, and I see the little clip, and I see him. In the little clip, I'm like, oh. So I just put that in instead of putting my assignment in. That's how they got up. Okay?
Right.
I'm telling you. I mean, the whole session came up. Ooh, I seen Eric Badu. I seen everything. But I seen him because it's such a short clip. You know what I mean?
That's
and
crazy.
It's all him. And then, you know, he had his mask down, so it's only the profile. He never turns into the camera because he got his profile, and he don't even want to be in the camera because I got the camera, right? You know, he always like that. Ooh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
He said, nah, you don't know. Put this up now. Forget your assignments. Yeah. You still got a long time. It's done. Put this shit up now. Ooh,
yo,
commanding.
So check it, right?
Commanding.
So,
commanding. From wherever.
So, yo, so Miami Regard had asked me.
Story.
All right. So now, like you were saying, he didn't have his mask up, so he didn't want to be in the photo. Right, Miami Rod.
Exactly, he stayed profound. He did not look at the mic.
Right, right. He was saying, "Yo, Mike, I've known Malik since I was 4 years old. When this nigga start wearing a mask?" And I said, "Yo, whenever we go down to the radio station, and people wanted to take pictures or whatever, he would pull up his bandana. So that's how it started, right? Now, excuse me, as Zaire was saying too." One time at the radio show before live streaming was even a thing, right? Nail had his computer down there. Ross Marvin was in there, and they was about to stream Outlaw Radio live for the people around the world who wanted to see it. Listen to what I'm saying now.
Wow.
Won't no streaming sites then?
Oh.
Big boy threw his mask on.
Because
that was just what he did when the camera was in his face. Why he did it, I don't know. That was going on now. Everybody got on a damn mask.
He was on some street shit. He was on some street shit in the open locker, and so you know, he didn't want no
mask.
You know what I'm saying? But he put the mask on because he was on some street shit. You feel me? In open locker, he didn't want his quote unquote pass to catch up with him type of shit. So you know, put the mask on in pictures. Even in public,
yeah.
Walk around with a mask on. You don't want nobody to recognize him from, you know, from what he says, you know, his previous street life, so to speak. That's why,
man,
what
about me? You feel me? They know him.
The
but at the same time, though, because of his transition, once again, like I said, because of his transition and his name change,
right.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? A few brothers
right.
he grew up with.
Right.
Didn't recognize him at first, or they did recognize him, but was just making sure it was the same brother. Cause yo, this the same killer from back then.
Yeah.
Now he's a healer. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. No part. Nah, man. He had that radio shit. He was the best radio host, bro. He top five, bro. Niggas tapped into his show. Like he really, like if he could have like. Been like during the day because he cussed so much, so they wouldn't like he couldn't go during the day at all. He cussed, you know what I'm saying, and you know he wouldn't stop. That's what ended up like why he had to end up. That's how they got him kicked off. They was using his shit against some type of shit. But that aside, on that radio personality shit, because he wasn't trying to be, he was just being himself. He really wanted no personality. That's why he was so good at it.
Exactly.
But the next show was just a fire show, like. To this day, like, one of the best radio shows I ever seen, just on some real shit, not even because that's my buddy, but just, like, his show was just the way he had it. You know, he had the Pac ride. My nigga was still playing Tupac with nobody. That's what a lot of people tapped in for because he was one of the few people that still played Tupac. Not only that, But he had a whole hour. He just called the Pac Ride, where he just played Tupac. And so, you know, Pac dig in the jail cell. So that was his movement. A lot of the jail niggas, a lot of thug niggas just follow him because, you know, he tapped into that. But his show just basically. And then, you know, you could see him in the street and get your shit played that week. Real nigga shit. You know what I'm saying? And Mike would speak to that. I think that's kind of how him and Mike started vibing. But, yeah, man, just, you know, just on every level, man, just the talent of the dude, man. And, you know, we truly miss him.
Yeah, and
we going to miss him.
Yo, Zaidi, I just got a confirmation on what you
What's
said.
That?
And, you know, about why he wore the mask.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was the reason. You know, like you said, you know, because of the past.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know.
Yeah, now, you know, that just speaks to his realism. Like my nigga said, I'll take a picture with you, but no, you can't see my face. And I'm talking about when you say, we're talking about it, like, we talk about principles. You never hardly, like, I might seen one or two pics of him ever with his mask off, ever. You talking about a nigga saying true to his principle, like, no, you can't take a picture with my face. Then hold on, wait a minute, put my mask on real quick, hold on. You're not getting that face. I remember even, like, on the back of the Always Eluder cover, the picture we used, we had to blot out his face because it just happened to be a picture with his mask on. So we blotted out his face. Just out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And look, because I knew he ain't do pictures, I ain't never take none when I was at the studio with him.
Right.
You know, I just ain't never take none.
Now you want catching them slipping like that?
Nah, you won't, you know. And yeah, like I said, now fast forward now, everybody forced to wear a mask.
Crazy.
You know?
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I say the brother was so far ahead of his time, man. You know what I'm saying? So far ahead of his time, man.
No, a genius. A genius in his own way. A real genius in his own way.
Without a doubt, man.
You know, his son, if you ever heard his son music, that nigga's son is hard as fuck on the mic. Open lock and nut. Yeah, that nigga hard. Like, bullshit aside, my nigga know what the fuck he doing on that damn mic. And that's his son. It's like, okay, I see what the fuck going on.
Call in if you want to.
Yeah, strong legacy, man. Strong legacy. You're going to keep this shit rocking too, man.
Indeed.
Because this is therapy. I thank you. I thank you, brother, for having us. Be able to even come here and come together and just express ourselves, express our love for our brother.
No doubt.
I went into Jeffy.
No.
I feel good. I actually want to open a couple of lines right quick.
Okay. All right, cool. Line right now. Okay. 305-300. Your line is open. Yeah, question, conversation, TV, so at the time. 305-300. Your line is open.
All right, free to land. Free to land, comrade. Peace. All right. Peace, family. Outlaws. RBG. You know.
Hello.
True Infinite. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we need something. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. I'm just calling to make a comment. You know what I'm saying? My name is True Infinite. I'm a Miami native as well, out of Opa-locka, you know, and
It's a pleasure to hear all of you on this broadcast tonight to express such good comments, the brother. You know what I'm saying? And I really appreciate that. I first and foremost want to give a shout out to all the Opa-locka family, Bunch Park, Alabama. Alabama. I'm sorry, Alabama.
Salute.
Yeah. You know, Tina. You know, if she hear my voice, she probably won't recognize me because I'm way much younger than them. But if their family is listening, I definitely want to send my love to each and every one of them. Everybody out the hood, you know what I'm saying? He will truly be missed. Definitely. Title legend is an understatement, you know what I'm saying? Especially coming from where we come from here in Miami to see a man make such great strides in his life, you know what I'm saying? Beyond what was expected of him and people that come from our turf, you know what I'm saying? So definitely, He's appreciated. His energy was appreciated, and it always will be in the minds and the hearts of those that he encountered. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, I want to keep it brief, but I just want to say that to let y'all know that Miami is in the house. Opa-locka is in the house. And we definitely going to represent the brother within the movement and out here on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, even though he relocated to where he relocated to, you know, people down here still love him. They still know him. We'll never forget. You know, because these are things that we're going to have to live with for the rest of our lives. You know what I'm saying? So once again, thank you all for calling in, Sharon, and I appreciate it. And again, my love goes out to the family, his children, particularly, and everybody in the hood, off the bat, stand up. We still out
stand
here.
Stand up.
Hey. Free to listen.
No. My nigga, he represented Miami, Opa-locka. I don't even think I heard the word Opa-locka until a bro, you know, said it to me. And then it was like, okay, you were Opa-locka? It's them niggas lit. I was like, Opa-locka lit. But yeah, man, I shaded that, man. Appreciate that comment, sis.
Yeah, indeed.
No doubt. Again, I want to thank y'all all for coming to the broadcast. So you now understand it's been a real interesting conversation, man, and it's been real passionate. I see everybody coming from their hearts, coming from their minds, and man, they're just showing the expression of what type of creativity that we actually have as our New African people, what type of power we have, what type of influence we have, man, the greatness that we have, and the greatness that can be seen in each other by us being reflections, man. So this is a very beautiful thing, you know. It's very beautiful, man. And I want y'all to keep me abreast in regards to a book coming out, other things in nature. So, you know, like we can have like a little show or whatever talking about the book and, you know, give people aware of, you know, that promotional things of that nature, right? You know, GJU is here because we here for the people in regards to different things, the prison system, whatever it may be, right? That this is a propagation platform. And every time we get, we got to control the narrative so the people can hear from our perspective and not from the perspective of their oppressor, you know? So we got to keep it true for all times, you know, in regards to the situation, man. So this right hand is basically a gift, you know what I'm saying? I send a shout out to the Sister Father again, for, you know, for that reaching out to me in regards to this event that what we got doing going on right now, man, because it's a beautiful thing, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm loving the energy in particular, man, and the thoughts, you know, we got to elevate on all different planes, man, and we got to get right with ourselves, man, and you never know what the individual's going through in regard to the sacrifice and commit toward the people, man. That says a lot, man. You know what I'm saying? That legacy lives on forever. You know, the brothers here, mm-hmm. in energy form. You know, the legacy lives on forever.
Oh,
you know?
Now, I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to say something real quick. When you transitioned last Thursday, you know, I was on my way home from work that night. And most definitely I was hurt. You feel me? And I was saying to myself, damn, Malik Kalam is an ancestor now. And as soon as I say that, Malik jumped in front of me. Listen to what I just said. Malik jumped in front of me. And he had a gold shield. He had a gold spear. staff sword. His dreads were swinging, and his grills were shining. And if you know Malik Kalam, you know how he moved. And when I saw that, I said, yo, thankful to have an ancestor like that on my side.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
A straight warrior.
Yes.
And if you close your eyes now, you might have seen him shaking his grill and his grill and his growl. Okay. Okay. So know that he's with us. That's how he's moving with us and moving around us. And anything wrong coming our way, trust and believe your ancestor got us. Big Brother Malik got us.
Yeah.
You know, you used to talk about cutting the snake's head.
That's how
he's doing it for
Big Brother Malik.
Sure, indeed. We actually got like 8 minutes left, right? And I want all three of y'all to give y'all final thoughts and final comments before we close out. You know, y'all can take turns getting y'all final thoughts. You know, what are you gonna leave us with?
Okay, go ahead, just want to say because I should have started with just so much love and peace and know to the family that we are all standing with you all in prayer and in praise. And Brother Malik is well loved, and we love you all because we love Malik. Okay, and I should have started with that. And that's it. Long live Malik.
Hey, salute.
Okay, appreciate it, sis. Okay.
Salute.
You
know, I just gave my closing statement. You know, like I said,
I'm
honored to have him as an ancestor warrior. You know, and anytime I think of Malik from this day forward, I just told you what I see. You feel me? That gold shield and that sword, and you know what I mean? Still classic,
right,
Malik. You know, and you know, I just want to say, you know, one love to the family. You know what I'm saying? I salute all this. You feel me? All this youth.
Okay. Okay, hold on. We got somebody want to chime in. Hold on. Let me see what's here. Open the line up. 786-873, your line is open. We got a question, comment, state. Please do so this time your line is open. 786-873, go ahead.
What's good, y'all?
What it do? Hello.
What up, man? What's
up, brother? Go ahead.
What's good, huh? Good call, man.
You got
it. Y'all, man, I appreciate y'all. You feel me?
Y'all, tell them who you are, man.
Like,
tell them who you are.
Oh, I'm his son, man. My name is Opalaka Nut. For people who don't know.
Okay.
Opalaka.
Oh, okay.
Hey, family.
Okay, brother. We appreciate you calling in, brother. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the ancestors are set in open arms, man.
Chin up,
yeah,
just so,
man.
We got you, bro.
I want to let y'all know, man. I appreciate y'all. That's all. Y'all know that little radio thing was his little thing right there. So, you feel me? I appreciate y'all doing what y'all doing, man. He was everything y'all talking about.
Appreciate you, brother.
Straight up. Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. I don't really want to say that much because I don't want to do that much on here. So, I appreciate y'all.
Okay.
I just want to chime back in and keep listening.
Oh, we got love.
Okay,
bro.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, brother. One love.
One love, y'all.
Love, family.
Salute.
Okay. Salute. Salute that.
Yeah.
21 guns a little
bit.
Okay. OG Malik Kalam, King Julian.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Peace to General. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep this shit alive and well for you. You know what I mean? And we're definitely going to keep our chin up. We're definitely going to put Z's on the beginning and end of every word that we possibly can. We definitely going to capitalize this shit. You know what I'm saying? To the end of me, my nigga. We're going to keep this shit capitalized, nigga. Nigga, from now on, you better write in capital letters on Facebook and every motherfucking where else, nigga. Put the beat on that shit, nigga. Stop saying salute. Y'all niggas better be diluting and shooting like my nigga wife. Y'all niggas better be calling crackers to their motherfucking face. You better have a turn-up moment 3 or 4 times a motherfucking day.
in honor of Malik Kalam.
Right.
That nigga didn't give a damn order, motherfucker. About none of you niggas.
Right.
None of you bitches. Hey, look, he hated y'all niggas and he loved y'all niggas at the same time. Salute that. You know what I'm saying? My nigga was a rock.
Okay.
Nigga was a king. My nigga said he King Bullion, nigga. He, I said, what the fuck is Bullion? That nigga said, nigga, that's all the fucking gold, nigga. That's all the gold,
right,
nigga. So my nigga said, fuck a billion, fucking trillion. My nigga said, I want the bullion. Man, look, my nigga King Bullion, my nigga.
Look,
that
look.
Shit gonna
knock
ride.
It, knock
wheels
it.
Fall off, man. Outlaw, RBG. Outlaw, RBG, nigga. It's the revolutionary
gangster
shit. My nigga. They gonna carry on for life, nigga, to the death, my nigga.
All right.
Salute that.
And check this out,
okay,
now.
Okay.
Look, his daughter Diamond, right? His daughter Diamond just told me to tell everybody thank you as well, and this was wonderful and greatly appreciated.
No doubt.
She's
no
very,
doubt.
That came from his daughter.
Very, very,
his,
no doubt.
You know, his children were listening. You know what I'm saying? Because I sent them all the week. You feel me? So they could tune in. So, you know, they were
okay.
Listening. And the information that I was giving y'all was actually directly coming from them. That's why I was like, hold on a minute. It's going to be here. Because they was telling me what I needed to say, you feel me, on their father's behalf.
Right.
So
okay.
She wanted me to tell, you know what I'm saying, to tell, she wanted me to tell everybody thank you. And this was wonderful. And greatly
okay.
appreciate it.
Oh, true indeed.
Man, we
true
love
indeed. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I love all y'all comrades, man. Again, I appreciate y'all coming to see y'all to understand it, man. And if anyone had any loved one, comrade, social behind enemy line, please check our website, which is Georgia University. Again, it's www.georgiejacksonuniversity.com. Law of the Resistance, Law of the African Movement, Free the Land.
Free the Land.
Free the Land.
Free the Land. Body, yes, sir. Salute.
Salute.
Salute.